Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Jeff and Eric were walking through the woods one night. That's right. When they saw something giving off an eerie light, so bright. Turned out it was an alien meteorite. That's right. And its radiation isn't superhuman in sight. So bright.
And on that day, they vowed to use their powers for good instead of evil, swearing to protect mankind from the vile clutches of their evil arch-nemesis, Bad Cinema. And if you find yourself in a bind at the multiplex, not sure what to watch, you too can call on
Movie BS with Bear and Snyder.
Hello, welcome to Movie BS with Bear and Snyder. Episode 269. I'm your host, Eric D. Snyder, here with my co-host, Jeff Baer.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Baer. I'm the host. That was my co-host, Eric D. Snyder. And here we are talking about movies.
Here we go. We have a few movies to talk about this week. Three wide releases and then a thin release.
Yet only one overlap.
Yeah, we just wound up seeing a lot of different movies.
We did.
Largely because of screening conflicts and stuff like that, scheduling situations.
A lot of behind-the-scenes, very exciting things.
A lot of behind-the-scenes nonsense.
We won't get into
just garbage. Just garbage nonsense.
Yeah.
But let's not waste any time. Oh, people have been asking, 5 seconds for the Trouble report. Trouble the cat.
Oh, yeah.
She's fine. I don't know. I need to ask Mike if she has usually been a lap cat, but she just, as of the last couple of days, has begun to get onto my lap. She had almost from the beginning, she would come along and sit next to me and demand to be scratched or whatever. Yeah. The last two nights, she's actually getting on my lap for this. So I feel like it's getting more intimate between me and Trouble.
Do you feel like it's like going too soon? Like, is it too fast?
No, I mean, I'm okay with it. I feel like... Does she know that I'm gay? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I don't think that matters in a situation like this.
Does she know you're not a cat?
That would matter, and that I do not know. I will say that I feel like she is getting more out of this relationship than I am.
Because now you know what it's like to have a cat.
Because she is not scratching me. She is not doing anything for me, really.
Is she purring?
She purrs, yeah, she purrs. And I like that I am able to produce purring sensations in her. That's really a mild thrill for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yes, everything is fine with me in Trouble.
I'm starting to worry that you should never get a cat.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm cool with all dog affection with that sort of thing.
You draw the line at cats?
I kind of do. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've heard. We lived in a more enlightened age now, Jeff, and people are becoming a lot more accepting.
Cats and dogs living together?
Mass hysteria. People are becoming more accepting of things that they were not accepting of in the past.
So
try to be a little bit more open-minded.
I accept everything else. Let me draw the line at cats.
All right, fair.
All right. You know what I am? Selfless. You know what the first movie is that we're talking about?
Selfless.
Oh, I thought we're not going to do Minions first?
No. How many times will you do that joke? How many times? good segue. That's not true. You're not selfless, but excellent segue.
Thank you. Thank you.
Grammatically, it was a great segue.
Well, you didn't. I actually, you people at home, I made the slash.
Self-slash-less.
Yeah. Self-slash-less. Tongue twister for me on the second try. You go.
Self-slash-less. Self-slashless.
New game, sweeping the nation. Can't even do it once now. I'm awful. Okay, here we go. Old man, wealthy, dying. But he doesn't want to die.
Specifically Ben Kingsley.
It's somebody. He's playing somebody.
Ben Kingsley
he's playing Damien.
Right, but he's also doing His accent he's doing is coffee talk.
He's doing coffee talk.
Doing Linda Richmond coffee talk.
I don't know about you, but I'm studying him like crazy in the beginning. I'm like, okay, give me every little detail. Give me every little mannerism about this Damien guy.
So that later, when his consciousness is in a new body.
I will be on the inside.
Yeah.
I will know things that nobody else knows.
We'll be like, oh, wow, Ryan Reynolds is doing a great job pretending to have this Ben Kingsley character occupying his body. I know what
you're
saying.
That's right,
the idea like in Face Off, Travolta and Cage, in that. Mm-hmm.
This is a radical medical procedure. You can't get this at the old Five and Dime on the corner. You got to be in the deep underground and have a fancy business card and wonder what in the world's going on here.
And you also you couldn't do it before Obamacare. So
that's right.
Thumbs up
that's
for that.
Right. And then lasers and an MRI machine make you – and some sort of net around
net,
the face.
And you couldn't have any metal in your pockets or
no metal.
Anything at all.
And then that makes you, your consciousness, your brain, your essence, go into another body.
Yeah.
And all you have to do, pop some pills, and everything will be okay.
Because otherwise, if you don't pop the pills, you kind of have like weird memory flashes and stuff. And because what'll happen is your body will start to reject this new mind you've put in it. And so you need to take pills to stop it.
Everybody
that.
Understands this science. It's weird that they even spent half a minute explaining it in this movie because it's just so obvious.
So
by the way, I think they only spend a half minute trying to explain the science in this movie.
Which is fine because they're not going to explain it in a way that makes it like actually make sense.
No, it would have been nice if like these are the sorts of things that like if it's entertaining, who cares? If it's not entertaining, then it's like, well, then you could have given me some more mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
And I would have been happier with that. For a second, it seems like Damien – who, because of one black and white pitcher, we know played basketball on Princeton in, I believe, 1852, the photo was from.
Yeah.
So, like, he gets in Mr. Ryan Reynolds' young body. Guess what he does?
He's hooping it up. Dunking.
Oh, my
gosh.
And for a second, he's with Derek Luke, who plays this guy named Anton. And it's like, oh, my gosh. This is the second coming of White Men Can't Jump. I'm in. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're going to go on the road trip and play basketball and go 2-on-2 for all these adventures and have fun. And Rosie Perez will be there and it'll be great.
None of those things. But here's the thing. So what you do here, if you're a rich old man, you pay them a lot of money and they'll put your consciousness into a new body. Now you're asking yourselves, where are they getting those bodies? Now the fellow that runs the operation, played by Matthew Good, he's like, oh, we grow these bodies in a lab. We grow them.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Nice.
Easy peasy, cheddar cheesy.
Yep.
But I don't want to spoil anything. That may not be entirely true. The source of the bodies that may not be accurate.
Because they have an extra hour to fill. You are correct. everything about the twists, like, was there one twist that you didn't see coming or didn't have to happen in that way? That was the thing to me.
Here's what I wrote in my notes. I wrote, everything is telegraphed. There's always a line sometime early on where like, oh, that just the way they say it, you think, oh, that's going to matter later. And every time it's true. Everything is telegraphed.
Everything is. From old Damien not talking to his daughter to the new young Damien having to deal with a daughter figure to all of these things. And man, what's really weird here is I don't feel like we get to know the guy that Ben Kingsley is.
No, we hardly see him before he dies.
And I don't really think we get to know the guy that Ryan Reynolds was.
No, not
like,
at all.
Like, we really don't. And the key to this would be to care about one of them, if not both of them, in this journey. Because otherwise, what happens is it about two-thirds into the movie that it decides to become a Bourne movie just a little bit?
A little bit, yeah.
You got to keep popping the pills. You got to keep popping the chems. Mm-hmm. Very important. Mm-hmm. And he's an Uber soldier.
Oh,
suddenly.
Yeah. Surprise, he has military experience. Chris Pratt in Jurassic World are the two characters that have military experience only to justify why they're so good at fighting and weapons handling. Otherwise, doesn't figure into their characters at all.
So that whole thing just makes you feel like you don't really feel connected. But more importantly, he's this Damien guy is killing a lot of people mm-hmm. when I don't necessarily know if they would have been killing him. Like, it was that weird thing of like, you know, you're really taking a lot out on people.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it would have been immediately the other way, or it was just kind of weird.
Once they got goons after him, I felt okay yeah. with that.
Yeah, it was. I just thought that was a little bit odd. I mean, you got like because he's not angry about anything.
He's no, just trying kind of to save wanting, his life.
Yeah, he's just kind of wanting survival,
and he wants answers. He wants the truth.
Yeah, he does.
He does want the truth.
But man, everything was just convenient.
I don't disagree with any of that. That being said, I did not disenjoy the movie. I wasn't bored with it.
I was not bored with it.
I was not surprised by much of it, but I generally found it to be one of those easygoing, kind of pleasant enough. It to me is the quintessential C+ movie. Like, don't go out of your way to avoid it. But if it's there in front of you, sure, that's all right.
I don't watch any shows on this network, but it feels like it should have just been a USA Network TV show. Like, this is yeah. the sort of thing that has like 6 seasons on USA, and my parents keep telling me that I should mm-hmm. watch it, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, I just don't think there's enough there for me to care.
Yeah,
and.
Yeah.
And the caring is supposed to be in the form of Natalie Martinez, who plays Madeline, who's from the Ryan Reynolds past. And I don't feel anything there affectionate wise. They don't dive deep enough, and it's not entertaining enough, and it's not unique. Like it.
No, not
and
at all.
I know this is a really old movie, but there's a movie called Seconds that I watched recently for a column, mm-hmm. and it is. The boring updated version of that film where it's like, okay, let's just do that again, but now let's put some action in there.
Yeah, and it's like all the other sort of the body swapping and the consciousness yeah. put brains and things.
What other all right, so Ryan Reynolds has swapped bodies in this, and then is it just the one with Jason Bateman? Is that it?
The change up, is that what that was called?
Yeah. He hasn't swapped bodies in anything else, right?
I think
it's not like
it.
The leader in the clubhouse. Right?
No, it's strictly speaking, he didn't swap bodies in this
That's
one.
True.
But,
That's true.
But we count it within the same subgenre.
Inhabiting another person's body.
Yeah, or actually, what he's doing. 2 movies now where Ryan Reynolds has another character inhabiting his body. That's what happens.
Let's not forget here the voices by with Ryan Reynolds and Mississippi Grind, which will be coming mm-hmm. with Ryan Reynolds, prove that he is very good. While as there's films like RIPD and this that prove mm-hmm. that he is just adequate.
The director of this is Tarsem Singh, which I did not know until it said at the end, and I was surprised by that. This is the guy who made The Cell back in 2000. Remember
oh.
that? And who made The Fall in 2006, which is this great, beautiful. It had Lee Pace was in it, very imaginative and just gorgeous to look at movie. And then he also made Immortals and Mirror Mirror. So he's made some crap. But he has his first couple movies were visually outstanding. And I would like to see him make some more things like that.
I never saw The Fall.
The Fall is amazing to look at.
Are you saying it's not that good?
It's pretty good. No, it's pretty saying? Good. It's pretty good as okay. a movie. It's like a B- movie, but it's an A+ right. looking movie.
Okay. what's the deal with Matthew Good? Do we like Matthew Good? I can't tell anymore. I can't tell what he's doing with his characters and if there's a purpose or if he's just dead-eyed and that's that.
I don't know. I kept thinking I get him mixed up with Ben Whishaw, who's in he's in the James Bond movies now. Is he the new Q?
Oh,
little fella.
No, I don't.
For me, they kind of look similar to me. Okay. Matthew Good does not register on any of my meters.
Oh,
like,
one
pay
other
attention
person
to at all.
One other person that's in this movie, not for long enough because he never is. Victor Garber.
Victor Garber. Mm-hmm.
Are you the type that whenever you see Victor Garber, you're like, oh, it's Victor Garber?
Sure.
Or are you
yeah.
not?
Yeah. I like
is that
Victor Garber.
Is that because of Alias or is it because of something else?
Alias is where I knew him first from, I guess. I think. Yeah, always nice to see Victor Garber.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do you give it?
I give it a 5 out of 10.
All right, I give it a C+.
Super basic.
Yeah, basic. And
that's it. Yeah, I guess that's the difference. I think I gave Terminator Genesis a 5 as well. And Terminator had bad parts and good parts, whereas this was just constantly average.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Except when it could have been White Men Can't Jump.
All right, and now Minions. We had one of those Sophie's Choices. You've seen the movie Sophie's Choice, have you?
No.
No. Neither had I until a few years ago.
But
you know, she has to make a difficult choice.
One of my friends actually wrote an article about Sophie's Choice and how it became part of the lexicon and everything. So that's how I feel like I learned about it.
Oh, okay. There's a good friend you've got there who wrote that for Mental Floss. Sophie's Choice, she had to make a very difficult choice with the Nazis. They said you can either see Minions or you can see the gallows.
I appreciate you not ruining the twist of Sophie's Choice for me. Because I'm still going to be able to go in fresh.
And no, you know what?
A tough choice.
No, you know what? When I saw it a few years ago, I still at that point did not know what the choice was. I did not. I went into it unspoiled. So yeah.
My hunch is now I know there's Nazis. So thanks.
Well, yeah. And now you and I this week had our own Sophie's Choices.
That's right.
The screenings of Minions and the Gallows were at the same time, and you chose Minions and I chose the Gallows.
That's right. Now, you chose the Gallows first and foremost because it's closest. Was that correct?
No, actually, it was not closest.
Oh!
No, I chose the Gallows because it was actually the only screening of the Gallows, whereas there had been multiple screenings of Minions that we just weren't invited to.
Oh, gosh.
So
you
F...
your weird
so
drive.
F you, Minions. It's a matter of principle.
Nobody has weirder principles than you.
I know.
I chose Minions because... Well, it's weird. I don't necessarily like being scared.
Yeah.
In a movie, but what I like less than that is just seeing a really bad horror movie.
Well, you made a good choice then.
And a couple of people had said that had seen The Gallows earlier that it was not good.
Right.
And Minions, to me, those little yellow pills have always been the best part of the Despicable Me movies.
I agree with that.
So then I was just like, all right, let's see. This is smart. Do it on your own. So here we go, Minions.
Tell us about Minions.
Do you kind of, in your head, do you know how the Minions sound?
Yeah, kind of little chippy, chattery kind of little things,
okay.
Right?
Okay, so can you do me a favor? Do you know the Universal theme song? Dun, dun, dun. Like the opening. All right, do that with the Minions voices.
Like that?
Yeah. Now, you, the listeners, have a choice to make. That's one of the best parts of the movie. So, like, what do you think? Do you need more of that or less of that? Like, it's up to you.
Before you start, let me say, it seems like taking something that was funny as a comic relief character and making it front and center, a movie all about that, sounds like a great can't-fail idea. Because if everybody likes it in small doses, why wouldn't they like it in giant doses?
You know what's really weird here?
Tell me.
I would say the Minions still are the stronger part, and everything around it, including the very nonsensical story, just kind of wears on you to the point where you keep realizing how pointless this all is. And it's pointless on many levels. It is entertainment. And yes, your kids will sit through it happily. Although, for the most part, your kids are really only going to appreciate the slapstick of the Minions.
As opposed to the social commentary?
As opposed to any sort of – there is zero lessons in this movie. Like I kept looking and it was like, all right, so here's the idea. The Minions have been around forever.
Right.
And they always want to look for the most despicable person and follow them.
Right.
And so that's what they do.
Like Hitler? Do they work for Hitler?
No, because they go into hiding after Napoleon. But then they come. There's also, for some reason, it's really weird when they're going through the history.
Yeah.
Dracula is real.
Okay.
And then Napoleon. And then, like, nobody, everybody notices they're creatures. Mm-hmm. But then there's also some other villains that are creatures. I don't understand the real world here.
Yeah,
exactly.
How the minions not ended up in the history books?
I don't. This is the thing. I don't know, because they're around until Napoleon, yeah. And they're on the walls of Egyptian, everything. But that, and then when people see them in modern day, they always are kind of like, oh, well, you're kind of weird, and that's it. Yeah. Anyway, Jeffrey Rush narrates, and that's a nice start. And the minions are funny, and that's a nice start. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin, Bob, and Stuart go and try to find the most evil person they can to then kind of resurrect the minions from this North Pole cave that they're all living in.
All right.
That's when we realize we're in 1968.
Okay.
And we end up spending almost all of our time in England.
Okay.
Where there's classic rock songs like crazy. This movie just abuses classic rock songs. And
it's fine.
British pop culture references, okay. Which I'm guessing not many of your children are going to be able to keep up with. And it's for the adults. And I just kept figuring out, I kept trying to think, like, why is this so interesting? Sandra Bullock and John Hamm are the evil ones. Sandra Bullock's really evil as, what is her?
Scarlet Overkill.
But, like, that's it. It's just like, oh, that one's evil. Like, we don't learn really anything about her except she always wanted to be evil.
Yeah.
And there's really weird plots involving stealing the crown and then accidentally being in charge and then being a hero. And it's just all ADD plot things. Again, no lessons. The only lesson I could figure was, these minions keep liking to hang out with one another. But that's like, but there's no lesson involved with that. It is, yeah. It is really weird how pointless it all is. Especially because I think my problem is this: I don't think we have a perfection slapstick comedy group like the Marx Brothers or anything else like that. And it would be very simple to just watch all of the Marx Brothers movies, have the minions do that in some basic controlled story and have us all be entertained by that.
I don't think that would be simple, but I agree that it's a good idea.
It's a better idea. I mean, there's hints of decent humor. We go to Villain Con where all the villains gather. But again, it's found out by TV commercial.
Is Villain Con like Comic Con, only not as stinky?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, yeah. At least my theater didn't smell. But then there's other jokes that just like – they really truly fall flat and you're just kind of like, that was the best delivery you had for that line?
All right.
All right. There are – it's PG and the minions are adorable, but they do encounter some evil-looking creatures and there is a good bit of violence. So you should keep that in mind. There is one particular evil clown that if your kid already is scared of clowns.
As they should be.
Yeah.
Right.
But otherwise, it's like the minions are Forrest Gump, like through history. 5 out of 10.
Okay. Sorry to spring that surprise question on you.
That's okay.
Then the gallows is the one I saw. I will say this. The gallows is shorter than minions.
Really?
Yeah.
Minions is 91 minutes.
Yeah. And the gallows is 81 minutes. I did the math. 81 is less. I don't have a calculator in front of me.
I did before. I didn't know how long the minions was, and I had decided 75 minutes would be the perfect running time, and I stand by that.
Yeah.
Anyway, the gallows.
The gallows is at a high school drama, and 20 years ago, they were doing this play called The Gallows that involves a gallows and a hangman's noose. And while they were doing the play, something went wrong and a kid actually got hanged from the noose live on stage. And we see all this. By the way, this movie is all found footage. So strike one.
Okay. All of it?
All of it. So this first, what we see is some parents' camcorder footage of that play in 1993, and there was a terrible accident. And so now it's 20 years later. Now it's
hang on. Was it an accident?
Well, it was maybe not. That is the question. That is the question. 20 years later, 2013. So I guess this is a period piece. 20 years to the day, they're going to do this play again at the same high school.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are. To the day. They're printing programs that will look identical to the original programs.
Oh, so they're like psychotic.
The movie doesn't even try to explain how anyone ever approved this idea. The play that involves a noose and a gallows that actually killed a kid 20 years ago. We want to do the exact same play on the exact same day with the same set and the same gallows and everything.
It's not even to honor the kid that died.
I mean, there were probably scenes cut from the screenplay that would have gone more into detail on that. I think that's probably was the idea, but no, it's all gone now. Yeah, they're just doing the show on the same day, which in this case is a Tuesday. They're going to do the play on a Tuesday, like you do. The drama nerd in me. Very bothered by a number of things, not least of which is the movie is mostly set the day before the play. It's the night before the play.
Okay.
And the guy who's the lead in the play, the one who 20 years ago went up dying.
Right.
This kid playing this role is a football player, and he is he quit football. He's in the play, and everything's being filmed by his football playing douche bro dude buddy. Who's harassing him the whole time for leaving football to be in this queer play.
Right.
And so the friend talks the star of the play and somebody else into sneaking into the theater the night before to wreck the set so they can't do the show. Yeah.
Okay.
So they're there the night before, late at night, to wreck the set, and then supernatural things happen. Now you're probably thinking, hey, if it's the night before the play, that's dress rehearsal. Theater's not empty, it's dress rehearsal. We got to do dress rehearsal. No dress rehearsal.
Well, maybe it's after that.
No, it's
like,
no.
Maybe it's like
no.
Midnight.
We see them earlier. No, it's.
There's no dress rehearsal.
There's no. We saw the rehearsal the day before that.
Is it only one night only? It's not even.
It's also only one night only. We see the marquee of the school that says this play
really?
On whatever date. Yeah.
Why are they making these kids try so hard if it's one night only?
Seriously, come on.
You got to go at least one weekend, if not two.
So they go to the theater at night and they're going to break stuff.
How many?
It's you got the star of the play who's sort of being reluctantly talked into it. You got his douchey friend. You have the douchey friend's girlfriend. And you have the female star of the play who's very pretty and lovely, but who the douchey friend is like, you can't have a crush on her. She happens to be there coincidentally. And they like sort of drag her into their nonsense.
Maybe she was the only one that's a professional. Maybe. She was at dress rehearsal.
Maybe so, yeah. She's like, why isn't there a dress rehearsal? Come on, people!
Oh, is that a camera? I'll follow you instead.
You'd think they'd especially want to get like extra rehearsal time in on the play that once killed a guy. Like, maybe let's get this right this time. At least a tech run. And so
is
Supernatural...
It scary?
No, it's not scary. And it fails the why are you still filming this test at every turn. And it fails all the tests.
And wait, is that the only camera? There's only one camera?
There's the one camera that the douchey boy guy is using. And he starts out saying it's to document behind the scenes of the play and whatever. Why he would then film himself, you know, committing crimes, I don't know. But then at one point, the other guy has the camera. So the douchey guy gets out his iPhone so that he can still keep filming. And there's even less reason for that he'd be filming himself in other scenes. So that's all.
Do they, at least at the end, does somebody find all of the cameras and then that explains how we all saw the found footage?
No, but at the beginning is a logo saying this is property of the Beatrice, Nebraska Police Department. Makes it look all very official.
Right.
Because you remember how in Blair Witch Project 16 years ago, a lot of people got fooled, thought it was real.
Yeah.
Well, the people who make these movies think that it is still 1999 and that people will still be fooled into thinking that this really happened. This is real footage.
All right, so is it a movie that you wonder if it's actually supernatural or not? Like is there a curiosity there?
I would say no. It makes itself fairly clear about halfway through whether it's supernatural or human caused.
Do you want to tell us how many people die?
Not enough. Well, it's really just these four characters.
Right.
They're involved, and they're locked in the theater. That's the doors won't open. As in, the doors won't open, which that's so you know it's supernatural because there's no reason doors. Okay. Anyway.
Can they break the windows?
No, and the school does not seem to have a lot of windows.
Oh, okay.
That was something that we were discussing on the way home. Not a lot of windows in this school, and yeah, they can't seem to get out, and their phones won't work. The phones will still film. They just can't get any reception. So a few people die. Not enough. And it's stupid. They make so many of these found footage movies that go straight to DVD or straight to video on demand, and you wonder why does this one get wide release? And the answer is I don't know. There's nobody famous in it. There's nothing about it that's better or different from anything else. No, it's a D. No reason to see it. Don't bother.
Oof. Yeah. Should it have been called School Spirit?
That would have been a better title. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the trailer for it uses a slowed-down, creepy version of Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Mm.
With the lights out, it looks dangerous. Oh, yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
And then another movie that you also didn't see.
I give it a D-.
This movie, The Gallows?
Yeah.
That sounds about right. Hang on, this other movie. Where are my notes?
I can hear them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm drinking coffee today, everybody. Coffee.
Oh, it's a coffee day.
Yeah. I had an accident. That's why I'm drinking coffee.
What? What kind of accident?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I had 32 ounces of soda in the car.
Yeah.
And somehow the bottom of the 32-ounce cup got punctured.
Oh.
And I didn't know this until I lifted up the soda toward me to take a drink. And a lot of it spilled, but not enough. So then I quickly put it back in the cup holder. And it filled the cup holder up to the brim.
Right.
And it's connected to another cup holder. So then that one filled up to the brim. And it was like the most terrorizing like ride home.
Right.
Ever.
What do you do?
It was like
yeah.
Every bump and everything.
You just have to hurry up and drink it, was what you'd have to do. Right?
No. But man, did I have to stuff a lot of paper towel in the cup holders to soak it all up. And then I had to spray and wash and who knows if I'm going to like smell like Coke Zero now.
Was the bottom of the 32-ouncer punctured or did the chemicals from the Coke Zero eat their way through the cup?
Well, I don't think I've told you this. There's a Chick-fil-A in San Diego.
Oh yeah.
And so it was a styrofoam.
Oh, styrofoam. Styrofoam. Jeff Bayer.
I hate Chick-fil-A for so many reasons, except for their chicken sandwiches.
You cannot move back to Portland fast enough. Drinking out of styrofoam.
It's not my fault. It's the chicken sandwich's fault. I grew up with it. There was
you
one
blame
in
everything
it's
on chicken sandwiches.
So anyway, for a second, I was wondering if my wife was a witch and she had all made this happen because she doesn't want me eating fast food. And somehow she knew.
Yeah.
So like she plants things and everything like that. But then I think she's probably not. That was my conclusion
Let's not rush to judgment, but all right.
I know because she's amazing at her job and both of us don't think we could handle being a doctor, right?
No. Yeah. No, I couldn't.
So then by that rationale, are all doctors witches? And that's why like they're different from us because they like – I don't know.
Yeah, I have heard of witch doctors. That's a thing.
Oh, wait, maybe that's where it comes from.
Maybe
and
so.
Then eventually they just dropped the witch part, but that was only conversationally.
Like maybe medical school is actually like a witchcraft school?
Oh my
I mean,
gosh.
We wouldn't know. You and I wouldn't know. We've never been there.
Did we just make the next Harry Potter?
Probably.
I think we did.
Yeah, so all medical science is witchcraft.
Yes.
The doctors are all under a conspiracy to keep that hush-hush, and they can't tell non-doctors about it.
And
that's why they use anesthesia, so you can't see the witchcraft they're using on you while you're asleep.
And it's simply called the good witch doctor because we have one there's some that are really good. Oh, wait, most of them are good.
They're mostly
doctors
good.
Doctors are actually really good.
Generally, doctors are
but
good.
Wait, maybe witches need something. Do they need our organs?
You mean like Halloween witches, like bad witches?
No. Well, all doctors
are
witches.
Okay, all doctors are witches.
All doctors are witches. there's bad witch doctors who take our organs because then it makes them more powerful than anybody else, whereas the good witch doctors are just trying to make us healthy and they have these powers to help humans.
Right, right.
But the bad witch doctors are rising up, Eric.
Oh, are they?
And there's a young medical student who's going to save the day. She's been living under a staircase her whole life.
That we may get into issues there.
Okay. I'll back up.
But yeah. Has she always wanted to be a doctor? She come from a long line of doctors?
No.
Okay.
She's the first to even go to college in her family.
Okay. I like this. Yeah.
I think this actually works. Mm-hmm. It's a young adult novel.
Totally. Well, it would have to be a trilogy of young adult novels. You're not allowed to write just one.
Of course. Is our title The Good Witch Doctors? Doctors? Mm-hmm. Because then it's a club. The Doctors. Ooh, The Good Witch Doctors.
No.
Or is it like this? Hmm. Witch Doctor? ?
That I know has been the title of a pitch meet we've done before. Witch Doctor.
Oh, really?
I know we've had that before.
Oh no.
All right, that's good. We'll workshop that.
All right. I don't want to let that idea down.
Okay.
Oh, the cadaver scenes. Oh, that's got to be the best.
Mm. So now my review of
it's a big dance number. A big dance number with the cadavers for entertainment's sake, but it gets somebody in trouble.
Oh, like the medical students are fooling around making the dead bodies dance? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, then old cranky Professor McGonagall comes in or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
We might need to work on that name. But
yes. Along those lines, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm on board.
Okay.
Testament of Youth is a movie based on memoirs. Memoirs of Vera Brittain. Vera Brittain was her name. And in this movie, she's played by Alicia Vikander. You know who that is? Alicia Vikander? I'll tell you what you've seen her recently in.
Okay.
Your Dreams After You Saw Ex Machina.
Oh.
Yeah. Sexy robot Alicia Vikander here plays Vera Brittain, not a robot.
Not movie.
Not a robot. No, that's a spoiler. It's during World War I. She is a young woman, and it's one of those period pieces, you know, where it's a different period, and everyone's very proper and British. And
is she progressive?
She's a little progressive. She wants to be a writer, so she wants to get into
a woman writer.
Right?
Nice.
So she's got she tries to get into Oxford. She's from a little village, and so the people of Oxford think that she's a provincial little small town rube. And then now that she goes to Oxford, then when she becomes a nurse during the war, the nurses think that she's a hoity-toity fancy Oxford girl.
She just can't fit in. She can't catch a break.
She's just really a nice normal girl, but she's got a fiance who goes off to war. It's that
is it Jon Snow.
It's Jon Snow. Yeah, it's Jon Snow.
Nice.
And she's got a brother.
Kit Harington for you other people.
She's got a brother who goes off to the war. Her brother is the guy from Kingsman, the Secret Service, earlier this year.
Taron Egerton?
Yeah, Edgerton, I think.
Edgerton. Oh, rumors are flying about him right now.
I don't care.
I know, I don't either.
And then there's also a backup fiance. And basically, she does not go to the war because she's a girl, but all the men in her life go to the war. And
Do you like her parents? Are her parents in it a lot? I like both of her parents.
Yeah, parents Dominic West and Emily Watson. They're not in it very much, but they're effective.
Okay.
It's a perfectly good period piece that the story is engaging enough, and then it eventually comes around and decides that its point is that we shouldn't have war. We're all humans. Let's be pacifists. You know, war is terrible and destructive, which is fine. But most of the movie, it's not really doing that. It's just sort of telling the story, which again is engaging enough, but not particularly moving.
Does it work in stopping all future wars?
I think, because I know that there were some more wars after World War I.
In this world, were there, though?
Well,
do you know for sure?
I don't know, because the movie stops like shortly after World War I.
Hmm.
So I guess, yeah, maybe in this world. Well, no, because it's based on memoirs, which means it was real life. So stick it.
That was some good sleuthing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Testament of Youth. It's fine. It's a B. It's especially if you enjoy the period pieces, the costume dramas, the proper British manners, and all
there's
that.
There's been some good ones lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was Far From the Madding Crowd not long ago, and
You know, that other
that
one?
That one that you saw that I did.
Kate Winslet?
A little chaos.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you like those movies, there you go.
Right.
And those are the movies. Oh, you know, I need to mention about The Gallows. It's rated R for no reason. No sex, no nudity, no significant violence, no swearing. They don't even swear in this movie.
Now, The Conjuring was rated R because of terror.
Just
because
of scariness, yeah.
Yeah.
And The Gallows does not... I don't know
why... You didn't let out a little bit of pee?
No, not even a little. I don't know what the ratings board saw that made them think that it needs to be rated R, but...
Whatever. Maybe they just asked for it to be R?
Maybe. I don't know.
Huh.
Anyway, those are the movies. Let's talk about question of the week.
Okay.
Oh, now? Want to do that now? Hey, what did we ask? Oh, about cartoon people. Cartoon characters. Like the Minions, who else should get their own spinoff movie from a cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
Several Roger Rabbit-themed answers, which I'm on board with.
Yes, there were. Are you on board with all of them? Let's go. Let's talk. Are you ready?
I don't make any sweeping claims. I think so. Yeah.
The further erotic adventures of Jessica Rabbit.
Dustin suggested that.
Dustin did suggest that, and many people liked it. So here's my thinking.
Hmm.
It says the further erotic adventures, so we've already experienced erotic adventures, and that was in a PG movie.
Right.
So we really could just do a PG-13 Jessica Rabbit, and it could be more erotic than that.
Go
but
a little naughtier, yeah.
It wouldn't have to go full naughty.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
so
maybe,
she would just,
like maybe we'll see your boobs or something.
Could we see animated nipples in a PG-13?
You can see non-animated if it's not in a sexual context.
Like if she's just walking down the street,
or like if Jack is painting Rose like one of his French girls.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Yeah. So yeah, some erotic adventures of Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah. Joby.
Mm-hmm.
Joby says no face from Spirited Away. I want to know that guy's story.
Mm.
I currently don't because I think I was – I don't even know if I've seen Spirited Away, to be honest. I'm not a fan. I need somebody to sit down with me and say these are great and I'll watch it with you and help you see its greatness.
You're talking about the Miyazaki
yes.
the Japanese. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Spirited Away. I think Spirited Away is great. And a couple of the others I've enjoyed a bit. But I'm kind of with you that they're just kind of not my thing.
Yeah. I like Justin's. You read Justin's.
Gus Gus from Cinderella. Who is Gus Gus? What are his hopes and dreams? I sense a deep character in someone more than just the fat comic relief. Gus Gus, the untold story.
And I like that we're immediately pushing away the idea of like it becoming a Kevin James type character.
Yeah, no, we want to see like really what is his story, Gus Gus.
Yeah,
why is he called Gus Gus, not just Gus?
Oh, does he have a speech impediment?
Maybe it's a speech impediment. Maybe
maybe
that's like a thing in the rat world, mouse world. I don't know.
Oh, like everybody's called their first in line. Maybe. I don't know.
These would be the questions that the film would answer.
Yeah.
Dallas Neighbors says, I would like to see some of the other adventures of Merlin from Disney's The Sword and the Stone. Yeah, Merlin's a funny sort of kooky old wizard.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Super fan Mike says, Good Feathers from the Animaniacs. Do we allow it because it's from TV?
No.
Okay, we got to stop.
Sorry, Mike. That's Mike. That's Trouble's father. Well, Trouble's owner.
Oof, I was going to have to explain some things to you after the show.
No, I don't think he is the cat's father.
Yeah.
Oh, Julian says, a film about the toddlers from the Sunnyside Caterpillar Room in Toy Story 3. The entire film is them just running around screaming and destroying every toy they see. Though the film must be shot with the brilliance and expertise of that scene. That's a tall order.
Very.
But, yeah, see, I don't know if it's just toddlers running around screaming.
Maybe. Maybe that wouldn't work for an hour and a half.
Maybe that wouldn't be a whole film. We need to see what makes them run and scream. What are they running and screaming from or about?
Bad parenting. It's bad parenting.
It's bad parenting. All right.
Yeah. Finally, Finally, we get a thumb our nose at bad parents in a movie theater. How great would that be? Just constantly being like, you know, maybe you should be outside with your kids right now. Instead of just sitting them down in front of the screen.
Oh, maybe that's a good idea.
As they're watching it.
And in the movie, the thing that makes the kids turn terrible is their parents are always taking them to movies. So it's totally an anti-movie movie.
Right.
It's a great idea. We can definitely sell that idea.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, they made the Lego movie. Mm. Patrick, I want to see a hardcore Leaving Las Vegas style descent into addiction parable about Scuttle from The Little Mermaid. Scuttle's the bird.
The
seagull.
Yeah,
seagull.
The voice of Buddy Hackett. The dinglehopper and the such like.
Right. A little bit of a drinking problem, Scuttle?
Is that his issue? Is that the addiction we're talking about?
Is that what was happening?
I don't know what. Or does he mean like his fondness for human things? Like an addiction to that?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
I don't remember Scuttle having an addiction other than this sort of obsession with human artifacts.
And getting them terribly wrong.
Yes, yes. But yeah, I could go for that.
It's weird that Scuttle thinks a fork would be a comb.
Well, except I recall, though, he doesn't really think that. Isn't he just making it up because he wants to sound like he knows what he's talking about? I always thought that he was.
He hasn't seen.
Yeah, he doesn't know. Much. He doesn't know. Okay. But he knows. Okay. But he knows that he knows more about it than Ariel does, so he can make up whatever. That's the impression I always had.
All right.
So Yo, he's just a liar. That'll go well with his addiction if he's already good at lying.
That's true.
Emily says Edna from The Incredibles. That would be the costume designer. Maybe she's a supervillain. Maybe she somehow gave the supers all their powers. Maybe she's just an amazing seamstress / fashionista. Doesn't matter. It'll be a marvelous movie.
She goes on.
She does. She says, actually, now that I think of it.
Checks back in later.
Yeah. It would be an awesome movie to have her be the costume designer for all of the Pixar characters. Sort of a Kiss Me Kate type movie where the Pixar things happen on stage. We have Edna in the back going crazy with all the characters. I do like that idea. Like backstage at all the Pixar movies, here's the story of Edna who designs all the costumes for all of them.
I just think it would be amazing to have all the Pixar characters in a movie.
Right. But then what is her story? Is she – what are her
– oh, what is her story?
Like, is there a villain like trying to stop her from getting the costumes made, or is
she – what if nobody's loved her?
Mm. And there's a good chance of that.
I don't know. Because she's so small?
She seems like the type that probably has not known love.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what her story is.
Nick says the three brothers from Brave, who I do not remember.
That's so funny. I don't remember them at all.
Like I now that you say it, I remember because it was the girl. The girl was the main character, and I remember she had brothers. But yeah.
Well, and it's still dialogue-less. That's what I don't remember.
No, there's probably a reason they didn't.
Brave
talk.
Is forgettable. Dallas says Dallas Bennett.
Different Dallas.
Dallas neighbors. Says Baby Herman from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It could be a mockumentary about him being typecast as a baby and never being considered for Oscar-esque roles. It could also show his downfall, uprising from alcohol, cigars, and objectifying women.
I like the mockumentary angle.
Yeah.
He's his whole thing in the Roger Rabbit is that he's an adult in a baby toon's body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'd be some fun there. Who's Snarf?
Thundercats. Disqualified TV.
Mm. Daniel says the toys from Sid's room in the first Toy Story. Maybe Sid treats them well after getting scared straight by his encounter with Woody and Buzz. Maybe they face and overcome prejudice from other toys because they're not built right.
I like that.
Yeah, so Sid made them into mutants, and then he has a change of heart and now becomes sort of their Professor X.
That's right.
Takes care of them and helps them overcome prejudice. Although, would other toys really be prejudiced just because they're mutants? It seemed like toys are generally more accepting than that. Like, you got a few bad toys, but for the most part, they're pretty nice.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I'm trying to think through.
I don't think other toys would.
Because toys just want to play for the most part.
They don't care
and
what
they're
you look
happy
like,
about that.
As long as you're nice. Yeah.
I don't remember them. Yeah.
We got
room to think about that.
Made it a work on that, but in general, I like the idea.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Zach. I like Zach's. Zach might win for me.
Mm.
The all-cat jazz band from the Aristocats deserves a music biopic that reveals the dark world of drug abuse and womanizing hidden behind their success with Everybody Wants to Be a Cat.
So much catnip backstage at all the shows. Yeah.
Mine's from Wall-E.
Mm-hmm.
I want Eva.
Eva.
Eva. You want to see like more her story like before Wall-E?
No, after.
All right.
In other words, sadly, like she keeps surviving because, like, you know, she's better built than Wall-E. So then she's alone.
What happens to Wall-E?
He dies.
No, he doesn't.
No, yeah, his power runs out and he's dead.
No, he will live for 1,000 years.
She's got to go on. She's got to go on, and she's got to save everybody. Else, no, she can't save anybody. Everybody's dead, and she has to go find new life.
This does not sound like a very fun movie.
I didn't say anything about fun. I just said it continues.
A somber, haunting animated film.
Because loneliness. She's very powerful, but capable of love.
She and Wall-E. She and Wall-E lived together forever.
No. Sorry.
No, they did.
Spoiler alert.
I want to see in Beauty and the Beast,
Eva.
Mrs. Potts, the housekeeper who didn't turn into a teapot. I want to know. Mostly, I want to know what's going on in the 10 years that they're in the castle, turned into objects.
I can't believe that this is not my answer. I'm the one that like has diagnosed this with you.
I know. she got her kid Chip. She says, "All right, Chip, off to the cupboard with you and his brothers and sisters." So she must have like 50 kids. These other little teacups and stuff. Did she have them before? Did they all change? Like she had all these kids and they all turned into teacups?
Do you think maybe
who's their father?
Maybe she adopted them once they were plates and cups and saucers and whatnot.
Well, maybe, but then where did they come from in the first place? Why were all these kids? Why were there all these kids hanging around the castle being turned into magic objects?
More importantly, like again, why do they all have to pay for the beast?
Yeah, that's really not fair. But that, I mean, that's a cosmic question that can't be answered. It just sucks. It sucks to be them. That's what it boils down to. Well, I want to know how do they make the most of it, and I want to know before that, how did she come to work at the castle? She'd probably been at the castle a long time. Probably worked for the prince's father.
Oh, so you're thinking the prince's father just kept knocking her up and she kept spitting out cups and saucers.
Yeah. Yeah. And the reason is because the only place they could find to sneak off and do it was in the cupboard. And so that's why all the... So even when she was a human, she was giving birth to cups and saucers.
What? I don't know. That's how that works.
I don't know. And it's called Fine China. That's what I want to say. I want to see Mrs. Potts' backstory. Right. There you go. There's all our answers for question of the week.
There we go.
For next week.
Hey, yeah. What do we got for next week?
Well, next week the big movie is, or one of the big movies, Trainwreck, Amy Schumer. So we'd like to know what other comedian deserves his or her own movie, either as a starring vehicle, like this is for Amy Schumer, or a biopic about the comedian. That is also an option.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, basically, what comedian needs a movie for them to be in or to be, have their story be told about them?
It's one of our rare either-ors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, going broad with this question. You can always email us, moviebspdx@gmail.com, and you can post it on our Facebook page, where most folks do. Over there on Facebook. MovieBS.com is our website. You can find us there.
Yes.
On the internet. The box office is a thing.
Why don't we just talk about that next week?
I feel like we would be remiss if we didn't update the box office just a little bit. Because...
Well, but I have another move. We can just look forward.
Mm-hmm.
We can look... to the future.
I don't know if you remember last week, just a lot of trash talk
about on the internet.
Just about how well Terminator and Magic Mike were going to do, because those are both your movies, and how, you know, I was feeling somewhat confident, like I had a pretty good chance of winning, and how I wouldn't be saying that after those movies came out. Well, my friends, don't know if you've heard, Magic Mike XXL... less than $13 million for the weekend. And Terminator made $27 million. Now, of course, opening on Wednesday hurt them both. But also, we knew they were going to open on Wednesday. and yet one of us still chose them.
Well, you know, it's because that 4th of July, it's a big weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which I was right. It's a big movie weekend.
Not really.
Jurassic World.
Yeah, those other
Inside Out did very well.
They did do very well
on 4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So now
I was right in one regard,
just not in the way that helped you. And you know, it's interesting. Terminator Genesis was your seventh choice.
The details, it's weird. Like, nobody cares about the details.
My seventh choice was Spy, and my seventh choice made more than yours did. And Magic Mike XXL was your eighth choice, and Tomorrowland was my eighth choice, and Tomorrowland made almost three times as much as your eighth choice did. That's weird, because I learned last week that it super, super matters what number choice it was, like going head-to-head like that.
Let's and my see. Head to head right now.
My 7 and 8 beat your 7 and 8. Your 6
head
beat
to
my
head
6.
Right now. Head to head right now. I'm 3-2, beating you.
That looks about right.
So you're right. That does matter. And by that rationale, I'll win the whole thing. And that makes me feel better about myself. Thank you for bringing that up.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
I really thought things would be done. And now
I know you did. That's why it's so delicious to me that they're not.
This is why I was also wanting Minions to only be like 75 minutes so they could get in a couple more screenings each day.
Minions is good. I think it's going to be huge. That'll be a big one for you.
I mean, it's got the 3D, so that'll help financially. I don't know if I – do you think – in all honesty, I don't see it – doing Inside Out business. And I don't know if that's because Inside Out's still there, but I just, for some reason, I'm not feeling it. I just don't think it's going to do more than 90.
I wouldn't think so either, but I know that they have been promoting the living hell out of Minions, which usually works for the kids' animated films. And it's a sequel or a spinoff from a couple of very popular things. I wouldn't be surprised if it is huge because you never know with the cartoon.
So what do you think it's going to be?
I don't know. I'm not good at predicting amounts. I don't know.
So let's hear.
It's 70 million. It'll be 70 million.
If it does 70 million, my top 3 will beat your top 3.
Yes.
By about 30 million.
All right.
For whatever that is worth.
It's not worth anything.
Oh, shoot.
Ultimately, what matters is whether your 10 beat my 10. And
well, what about tiebreakers?
Like if we wind up with exactly the same amount of money?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, in that event, then we'll figure something out.
I think if we end up completely tied, let's just blow something up. Like it's the end of days.
Yeah, that would be an amazing coincidence. Anyway, so the Box Office Challenge is a tight race and – many people early on said I didn't have a chance, and I always like you remember I said do not sleep on Snyder.
No, nobody should.
He is lumpy and uncomfortable. You will not get a good night's rest. Do not sleep on Snyder.
Wait, people didn't sleep on you.
Well, they did. They were metaphorically anyway.
Oh, that's what. Yeah, you're right. They slept on you.
Yeah, like that's right. Okay. I didn't have a chance. Well, now
and
now,
you said don't. And now you're proving them correct by having a chance.
Mm-hmm. I've proved why you shouldn't sleep on me. Let's wrap up the show.
All right.
The Selfless is not very good, but not very bad.
It's tasteless.
Tasteless?
But like there's no taste.
Well, but taste.
No, not offensive. It's just there's no taste.
Well, but tasteless implies offensive.
I know, but that's why I'm overly explaining it right now.
Okay, all right. And then Minions is
That's eh.
Yeah, all right. The Gallows is bad, and Testament of Youth is good, period, costume drama thingy. Question of the week, tell us, comedian who ought to get a starring vehicle or a biopic about them in their career. And... and also, we didn't say it doesn't have to be a current living comedian.
Could be a
dead
one.
Obviously, with the biopic, it could be a dead one.
Yeah.
Probably, we don't need to come up with a starring vehicle like for Richard Pryor because that should be sale. But a biopic about Richard Pryor.
is already in the works, and we don't need to have that as our answer either.
That's true, because it is in the works. And so that is all for this program. So until next week, for Movie BS with Baron Snyder, I'm Eric D. Snyder.
I am Jeff Baer.
Thanks for listening, and good day.
I said good day.